461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. And oftentimes I get involved in the dialogue myself and fail to remind you, many of you may be listening for the first time, so you've not heard this number before. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, we find a declaratory statement made about the word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117:2, the Bible tells us that the truth of the Lord endures forever. So you might want to ask that question, how long is forever? It is forever, unending. But as we think on that, I must remind us that George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, made a profound statement in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was published in the late 40s. I believe it was 47, 48, and 49. The dystopian novel, 1984. Orwell made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, may I say, in the society in which we're living in today, you can be in a group discussion or an individual discussion, one-on-one. You can be talking about finances, economy. You can be talking about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. You may be talking about political issues. May even touch on the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. And you'll find those that will get all wrought up and concerned and excited about the position that you may take. Well, I think that we need to take the central biblicist position. I think that we need to take the position that God said it, that settles it, regardless of what we think or say. And I think that we need to look at it on the basis and everything that's happening locally, statewide, nationally, globally, and internationally. We need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does the Bible tell us? And ladies and gentlemen, part and parcel of what we need to see and understand is the eschatological prophetic truth of what is taking place. It's not just happenstance. The things happening in the world today is not just out of some fluke or some error that was made. God is in control. God is still sovereign. And God's already told us, past, present, and future, what he has done, what he is doing, what he shall do, and how he shall do it. So I continue to encourage us to focus our eyes on the Word of God, the Truth Book. Not what somebody might think or say, not what some politician might give us in some political rhetoric or some denominational dogma, but what does the Scripture say? I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about truth and how it prevails or does not prevail in every element of society. I'm looking at a headline that says, "Most younger Americans say that there's no absolute truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned with that because younger Americans they're speaking of are the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group. And that very age group is either presently or progressively coming into the control element of all of our society and our nation. And we need to be concerned when they say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. This article reads that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. If we bifurcate truth, we got to have truth. And I've said so many times, and perhaps some of you have been tuned in for years, you realize I've said, a half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have multitudes that believe the half-truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. It says, Dement warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. That's talking about the former senator, U.S. Senator Jim Dement. Jim Dement says, in part, truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline, hear me, the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we see the falling away from the church, as we see the apostasy taking place, as we see the lack of interest in church, the lack of interest in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, when we see the lack of interest in commitment to the Word of God, a commitment to the church, the body of Christ, as we see that number increasing, we're finding that void, that vacuum, that place of emptiness being filled by immoral, ungodly, unethical principles and practices in our nation. And it's the, I have said for years, it's the fault of the church for not being the salt and the light that God's called us to be that brings about the condition in our world today. I go back to the fact that we need to depend on truth. You know, there used to be the saying, truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Well, I believe that's where we need to get back to. I'm of the opinion that the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus had it right when he said this. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge, ladies and gentlemen. As Christians, we need to seek the truth, and it won't be found on the Communist Network News. By the way, I don't know the full story for the backstory, if you will, but I understand that CNN has been up for sale. I understand there's the potential that someone, an organization's already bought it, and recently somebody made the statement that CNN better get their act right because when the new owners take control, many of them are going to be gone unless they get back to the centrality of truth and not trying to have a biased broadcast to prevent us from standing on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, going back to that issue of truth is vital, I believe, in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how can I find Tools for a Time? It's a good question. The answer to that is Tools for a Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark for Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time has on its campus a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Just a moment of a brief monologue. We'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. We're talking about the SAVE Act. S-A-V-E. Now listen, I understand the SAVE Act is a political act. It's an act that is standing before the House and the Senate, already passed in the House, waiting for the Senate, John Thune, to open the floor and let it be debated. The SAVE Act. But we're going to make a transition from the SAVE Act, politically speaking, and what it does, what it does not do, to the fact that we need a SAVE Act for morals, ethics, and values in America today. And I'm delighted that we have those that are concerned about saving America. I'm delighted to know that there are those that are talking about the political issues that will destroy our nation if not checked in some fashion. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, you've heard of the socialist, Marxist, communist today. You've heard of what is happening with the Democratic Party. Listen, the Democratic Party today, the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats, are preventing the SAVE Act from being voted upon. Now, by the way, just for a corollary and a parallelism to that, they're also standing in the way of the morals, ethics, and values to be approved in America, to be part of lifestyle as it was in yesteryear for us as Americans. And we'll talk about that further in the broadcast today. But the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party still has America in a partial government shutdown. What does it mean, a partial government shutdown? Well, they are insisting that the ICE agents have their names on their chest, that they do not wear a mask, and that they wear body cameras, and that they have to get a warrant, a federal warrant, before they can pick up an illegal invader in America. And that's not going to happen. It's not going to take place like that. And so the Republican Party said, no, we're not going to do that. And the Democrats have dug their heels in, and anytime you hear them being interviewed on any network, basically any network, they're saying it's the Republicans' problem. They refuse to bring it to a vote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the contrary of that. This is the reason we need to understand what is truth. What is truth? The Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party is trying to say that they will not vote on it. What they're saying is they're not going to vote on it because they want, first of all, for the some passage in some fashion to eliminate the authority of the Border Patrol or the ICE agents from picking up and removing the illegals, the invaders in America. Let me just do a little digression and to point out the reason that is so important. At the rate we're removing the invaders, the illegal invaders in America, some 20, 25 million brought in under the Biden administration. At the rate we're removing them, about 100 years from now, we'd still be working on removing illegals in America, if that is even possible, which it would not be, but that illustrates it right well. So there's a move today with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party to prevent President Donald J. Trump from accomplishing his goal, his mission, his purpose, his aim, ambition, and commitment to American people to remove the illegal invaders. In fact, I'm told that the SAVE Act, and we'll talk about that in the corollary with what it means politically and what it means scripturally, but in that SAVE Act, I'm told some 82% of Americans want it passed. I'm in agreement with it when you understand what it means and what it will do. We need that in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, the SAVE Act, let me just briefly give that to you. Then we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. And keep in mind the bottom line in the discussion, in the issue today, the bottom line is that we want to make a transition from the SAVE Act with what it will do politically to the fact that we need a SAVE Act in America today to protect and provide and to reinstitutionalize morals, ethics, and values from a central biblicist worldview. I don't know about you, I'm a little weary with the mindset that the morals and ethics and values of the lost world should be enforced upon the Christians in America. That's what was attempted during the Obama administration. That was attempted even further under the autopen Biden administration, where there was the push for the gender dysphoria, the push for the 157 different genders called gender fluidity, we were forced into the position that every company had to use the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, to hire anybody. We're pushed to the position where, with the Biden administration in particular, if any nation got any funding from America, they had to agree on murder by way of abortion. They had to agree on transgenderism, where it is chopping off healthy body parts on young boys and young girls in order to meet the requirements of getting the federal funding from America. And I could go on and on and on. Well, our schools had gotten to the point of being laden with the DEI, laden with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, laden with the fact that morals and ethics and values had to be tossed out of the window. In fact, to the point where just about all of American public educational system had the authority under the Biden administration to quietly, politely, behind the scenes, and secretly transition your son or your daughter to an opposite sex without notifying you, without asking you, without your permission. Well, I'm thankful that under the present administration, by executive order, that's been canceled. And yet we find this still taking place with some physicians, some medical associations. But I'm thankful to see a little modicum of change taking place. That's what we'll talk about during the broadcast today. But very quickly, for our listeners that may not understand what the SAVE Act means, we need to talk about it for just a moment by way of further illumination and indication of why it is so vital that we have something morally, ethically, biblically, spiritually that will save America. Because listen, at the trajectory that we're going now, at the rate that we're going now, with the demoralization, the devaluing of our morals, ethics, and values in America, we're rapidly leaving anything that would be called the Judeo-Christian values in America. We're very close to it now. In fact, based on some of the statistical data that I've just read in the past few days in relationship to those that do not go to church, those that are not interested in anything called religion, et cetera, I can understand why we're in the moral pits that we're in today. But we need to change that if we're going to save America. Listen very carefully. I'm thankful that we're finding some Democrats that are wising up. I'm going to read you an article. It's a statement from a young woman that's leaving the Democratic Party. She says, and I quote, "I regret ever being a part of the Democratic Party. I regret working for their campaigns. I regret all my activism. I regret volunteering for the party. I regret all the lies I believed at the time. But that was before I believed in God." Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say many times on this broadcast, a saved person, a person that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, cannot be a Democrat. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be approving of the sodomite agenda. If you love the Lord, you're not going to approve murder by way of abortion. If you love the Lord, you're not going to have the transgenderism being embraced and approving it and pushing it in legislation in our U.S. House of Representatives. Another headline. Headline says, "Quitting the Democratic Party." A Democrat gives the name of a Democrat serving in Michigan House, says she will not seek re-election and plans to step down from the politics because of her Christian convictions. She said she represents parts of Detroit. She said she could no longer reconcile the Democratic Party platform with her faith in Jesus Christ. Her words, "For me, it is impossible to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ while remaining a member of the Democratic Party as it presently exists. I cannot reconcile that platform with the scripture," she says, pointing out such issues as abortion and debates surrounding gender and marriage. "I have compromised my religion, my relationship with Jesus far too long. I'm grateful to God that He did not give up on me. He gave me time to repent, time to turn, time to be fully devoted to Him." She made it clear that her decision is not strategic, but spiritual. "I will not be seeking re-election for office. I will not be running for any office ever again. This is not a political calculation. It's a spiritual decision." She goes on to talk about she and her husband had attended church, and the ministry has played an important role in the strengthening of her walk with the Lord Jesus. After receiving criticism for her announcement, she said her focus remains on being obedient to God rather than political opinion. Quote, those who understand, understand. Those who don't, don't. At the end of the day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. My responsibility is to stand in truth and to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus. I don't need to justify my convictions. I simply answer to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need more of those conversions in America. We need more of those that will ultimately have the blinders taken off and see that it's an impossibility to be a Christian or an American and adhere to the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. That's who's standing in the way today of passing the SAVE Act, as we talked about a moment ago. The SAVE Act will require proof of citizenship in order to vote. The SAVE Act will require a photo ID to vote. The SAVE Act will mandate the removal of all non-citizens from all church rolls nationwide. Listen, it's powerful. Listen, it would remove millions of dead people from the voter rolls. Yes, dead people vote in the blue cities. Most of them are Democrats. Still voting. The SAVE Act will hold election officials accountable for failing to enforce the laws. Ladies and gentlemen, that's needed today. If we're ever going to have another election that has any value ethically, ladies and gentlemen, the SAVE Act will stop the mail-in votes. I think that's one of the greatest elements of the SAVE Act. Right now, the ballots are being investigated, analyzed in Fulton, from Fulton County, Georgia. The ballots are being looked at, analyzed out of one of the major counties in Arizona, where we know in 2020 the election was 100% stolen in those places, and again in 2024 when some illegal acts took place. Ladies and gentlemen, the SAVE Act will stop the mail-in votes, except for military that's overseas, and for those that are ill, those that are sick, those that cannot go to the polls and vote. It will also stop the transgender in women's bathrooms and sports. That's a little tentacle to it that most are not aware of. But listen, let me just set the stage, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What is your opinion? Where do you stand? Should the SAVE Act pass? Should John Thune bring it to the floor in the U.S. Senate? He's been reluctant to do so, thinking that he doesn't have enough votes. And by the way, it takes 60 votes for this to pass, not just the 51. But he needs to go through and not allow the filibuster rule to prevent him bringing it to the floor. Yes, if it's brought to the floor, the Democrats will stand and yarn and speak and talk and try to hold the floor for 24, 36, 72 hours to prevent a vote. But I'm telling you, they can do that, and it will still allow it to ultimately come to the floor and vote. And once it's voted on, I believe it will pass. So we need to encourage John Thune to be faithful in commitment and carrying out what is needed in America. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, the SAVE Act politically is needed in America. But America must have a spiritual SAVE Act. There must be a SAVE Act that will save America from the direction that it is presently going in. We need to remove murder by way of abortion. We need to stop the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, not just from the standpoint of what some think or some say, but we need to have it passed legislatively, not just on an executive order. Executive orders can be absolutely overturned and nullified by the next candidate in the Oval Office. It can be done in whether it's governor or the president. You look at what happened in Virginia when Spanberger went into office, a socialist, Marxist, communist, liberal, so-called progressive. She has reversed just about all that Youngkin had done to preserve the morals, ethics, and values in kids in school. She's gone back to the point, pushed it back, reversed the executive order of the former governor, where it allows the transgenderism, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda to be taught in the schools again from kindergarten through high school. She has removed the requirement that a parent be notified if counselors and the teachers at the school want to transition a young boy or a young girl. She has unwound, undermined everything that was moral, ethics, and values in the previous administration just by going in. So that's the reason I say it's needful for the legislators, those that are Democrat, those that are Republicans, those that say they are conservative, to take a stand and do what is honoring for God to protect and preserve the United States of America, or else we will not have a nation to be having a vote on. I'm looking at an article. It's from the American Family Association, and it's pushing for Christians to stand up and push the legislators for the SAVE Act. This article reads from American Family Association, "The SAVE Act of America safeguards American voters' equality, and the act that has to be passed in the House needs to be passed in the Senate." It goes on to talk about the crisis growing day by day. Under the Biden administration, millions of illegal aliens flooded across our southern border, including 1.8 million so-called gotaways who were never stopped, never processed, never identified. And here's what most Americans don't realize. Listen to this. 14 states plus the District of Columbia have no voter ID requirements at all. Did you hear that? 14 states have no voter requirements for identification required at all. Ladies and gentlemen, that should scare the socks off most every one of us that's listening and understanding today. There's a mindset today, somehow, some way, that we can just simply have elections to go on the basis of how many votes can be stolen, how much fraud can take place, who gets the greatest fraud, who has the greatest purchase of the votes, who has the greatest number of dead people voting, wins the election. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We need to understand what is happening in America. If we allow this to continue as it's going now, ladies and gentlemen, we can save our economy. We can save our election. We can save our military. We can save, and I could go on and on and on, but if we do not save the morals, ethics, and values in America, we have lost it all. We could win the battle militarily. We could win the battle financially. We could win the battle philosophically. But if we do not win the battle spiritually, we've lost the war. And yet, somehow, some way, I believe we've gotten to the point that we do not recognize it. Listen, we need to understand the need to save America. We need to recognize the need, ladies and gentlemen. If we win the battle, otherwise, we've lost the war. And we need to understand, when I make that statement, ladies and gentlemen, that is a spiritual battle. I'm reading from Ephesians, the 6th chapter. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Stand against the wiles, the wickedness, the evil tentacles that's out in society through the demonic work. For, the 12th verse, Paul says, "For," that would be because, "we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're witnessing today a spiritual battle. And that spiritual battle can only be fought by spiritual hearts, spiritual minds, and understand that the wicked, evil, demonic battle that is taking place is being promulgated each and every day. If we win the battle economically, if we win the battle militarily, if we win the battle societally, and we lose the battle spiritually, we've lost the war. I'll say that again. We need to understand the need to go to war, to be in the war, to be in the battle, to save America spiritually, ethically, and from a central biblicist worldview. Without that, we've lost it all. I'm concerned today when we see so many Christians that's concerned about the political aspect. That's good. But we need to be concerned about the big overarching control, and that is of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. We're losing that battle. We're going to talk about it right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM.